These are recollections, Turner Ashby, memories of the years when the oceans rose and the several states were separated asunder, chapter 19. The baby cried. The five-year-old played with her crayon, a couple scraps of paper. She traced simple lines and simple circles of sky, stick figures, a stick horse. Held them up for my approval, and I did approve. I said, "That's a good one, Sweet Pea." We were bucking along on a buckboard wagon, being drawn on across a tall grass prairie. Flowers hip deep, grass shoulder high. The birds so loud you could hardly hear yourself think. Except the wagon had radial tires and turn signals. Well, maybe this wasn't the first frontier. Maybe it wasn't even the second or third. We were being pulled by a mule. Oh, not even a horse, but a mule. It went hee-haw. The baby stopped crying and laughed. We weren't going very fast, and I didn't care. I gazed up at the gray and the purple sky. There was nothing electric up there. No drones, no sky cams, no surveillance. Nothing electric anywhere, no electric toys, no scanners, no GPS, no batteries, no chips in our heads. There was no electricity left. It was all gone, all used up. Or perhaps it was no longer sought after. I don't know how these things happened back then, but they did. A couple former states, I believe Montana was one, constitutionally banned electricity. Of course, Utah had banned science altogether just to keep ahead of the game. I had a ridiculous outfit on. A bowler hat and a string tie. Simple short-sleeved checkered shirt. Very Amish, or was it a 1960s Presbyterian? Maybe I had discovered a new sect. Oh, there were so many splinter groups and sects back then. They've been popping up now and then for the past 2,000 years or so. And had of late gotten on a 16th century type role in the 21st. But I was fine. Everything was simple. I was content. I couldn't believe my luck. I was the luckiest man alive. I was grinning ear to ear like the proverbial cat that ate the proverbial canary. I didn't even mind the feathers. I couldn't help myself but smiling. And I knew why. I looked to my right and there she was. Ladies Fitzgerald. She had a poke bonnet on, a gingham dress, a rather sheer for gingham, and it hung so lovingly on her form. She put on a couple of pounds to look good on her. She looked healthy, pioneer healthy. The babe shifted in her lap. Ladies smiled shyly, unbuttoned the three top buttons of her dress, shifted a sleeve slightly off her shoulder. Exposed her breast, and the babe went to suckle. The reins had come loose in my hands. The buckboard slipped, and the mule strained in the broken and worn roads, high, muddy ruts, and what was left of the asphalt. The sun was in my eyes. I clicked my tongue twice in encouragement. We bumped a hard bump, and I reached over to steady Lays. I patted her knee. They say it took 500 or 600 armed men to do fair Liza down. Surrounded her and surrounded her again. Trapped her in a dismal cave in East Kentucky. The edge of discarded coal country. Fair Liza, of course. Trapped with no retinue, no law believers. Not even a lookout at her side. They say that she was like the wind or the mist. Or both. You could shoot at her and the bullet would just fly by, or fly through, or fly over, and ricochet harmlessly. Well, not so harmlessly. Somebody always got hit. Now, they say many of her pursuers did not walk away unscathed when she was cornered. It was a bloody, and if you accept some of the rather colorful, as imagined by, or as told to, versions written by the yellowest of journalists, some of which are still in print to this very day. It was an unfair melee. It was unfair because most of those boys didn't have a chance in hell. Fair Liza cut them down as they slinked amongst the boulders and thickets, crawling on their bellies, crawling up the mountain looking for their shot. Fair Liza had set a trap. It wasn't fair. No trap is ever fair when it's set by a woman of uncommon beauty and intelligence, breathless cunning, and a clear-minded devotion to her cause. Oh, no. That's what they said. The bullets all flew, and many of her pursuers died of friendly fire. That's the truth. Oh, but one bullet found its mark. Only takes one. Nobody ever knew who shot that bullet, though there were many, many claims. And Fair Liza caught one in the leg or was it in the arm. She winced, just like she was in the movies. She backed her way back down into that cave, slipped on the milky limestone, and stumbled on the sandy floor. She was calm, and she waited. And what was left of the pursuers? A few cowards from Lexington and Somerset. They decided it was time to stop playing with toy guns and play with dynamite. The pursuers did not pursue Fair Liza. They stood at the tiny, dry mouth of that cave. They tossed in a couple sticks of dynamite, and they stepped back. Bow. Only a few of Fair Liza's bones were ever recovered, along with a considerable fortune of antique silver coins, which were later auctioned off as secular relics of a faded government and keepsakes of a lost champion. Fair Liza had died a martyr for the cause of saving orphans and saving the Union. Now wait just a minute. Now that's not how it went. Not how it went at all. I don't remember Fair Liza being there. I just remember the bones of a long dead corpse and the coins. A light, a bright shining light was in my eyes. I was on my back on a rumpled, rather lumpy, white sheeted bed, a very uncomfortable hospital bed. But it was bumping along. This was not a hospital, this was an ambulance being pulled by a horse, a nice looking horse, a dapple gray. And I was dizzy, my ears were ringing. They still ring from that explosion sometimes. And a voice, I felt like I knew. That voice had asked, "How'd he get like that?" "Leg's been banged up, but not broke. Looks to have been that way for a few days. He's been carried for some distance. Hard to tell how far. He was cared for, but not well."
"And what are these wounds?"
Lades pointed. "I had scrapes across my forearms and chest. It looks as if he's been shot at. But not with buckshot, but with coins, nickels, and dimes."
"Somebody shot Turner with nickels?"
"I suppose so."
"Will he get better?"
"Well, that all depends."
"Oh, doctor, don't give me that mumbo-jumbo about the patient needing to be psychologically strong or whatnot. I know he's not strong, but he's a friend. Just fix him."
I smiled at that to myself. I still smile at that right now. Friends, Liz Fitzgerald's friend. I don't know that she had that many. "Doctor said,
I don't know that you'll be able to get out of him what you want out of him."
"Oh, nobody ever gets out of him what they want out of him." "What the hell's wrong with you, Turner? Get your hand off my knee."
She had been sitting so close to the bed. I smiled again. My hand dropped away, and I went back to my dreams of pioneering with Lays across. I don't know what the frontier was. I liked the part where she suckled the bait.
"Sweet pea,"
I said, and I think I said it aloud. And somehow, even through those dreams, which were induced by some harsh and rather arduous painkillers, I could overhear them talking.
"We got to find out how and why he killed Fair Liza,"
the doctor said.
"He didn't kill nobody. Fair Liza's going to be just fine,"
Lady said.
"They're talking about him being the head of an assassin's guild, and that he used a bomb strapped to his chest."
"Now, wouldn't he be dead if he had a bomb strapped to his chest?"
"That's one of the things we'll have to ask when he comes around again. Although there might be advantages
if he don't come around again."
"Now, I ask you, is there any way for a medical doctor to talk?"
You have orders to that effect?
Lays asked.
I might have orders.
The doctor hedged. And then the doctor somehow fell off the wagon. Quite a look on his face, and the wagon just kept rolling along. Apparently, Lays had other plans.
We got to get you to Texas, Tony.
Lays said. And of course, to get to Texas, we naturally were to head back through East Kentucky, over the Appalachians towards home, towards Richmond in the encroaching sea.
And I suppose, Lays continued, it's time for the resurrection of our fair Liza. Wonder who she'll be. Maybe a runaway or Mexican girl or gypsy singer. Maybe all three.
The resurrection, fair Liza, was become known as a fair rising. A nice ring to it, fair rising. From the first assassination of that first fair Liza, which was not an assassination at all, I was there. No matter. 7, 8, 12, 20 young women rose up all over the land, claiming to be fair Liza. And they were fair Liza, every one of them. They saved indentured children, and they talked about the old Constitution. And when another fair Liza in Kansas or Maine was gunned down or hung from a tree, another 12 or 20 would appear in another 12 or 20 towns or counties or burgs and keep talking and keep on rescuing. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. It was a miracle of bioimplanted technology. Lays pressed and rubbed her temple where her chip was.
We're going to bust him, Turner. We're going to bust him and then put them all back together again.
Lays declared, and she clicked her tongue to move the horse faster. And I believed the country would be won once again. Now, there were two sides, of course, to this battle. The preservationists of the Union that had been dissolved, and free separatists who kept on splintering the splinters of every old state in newly declared territory into West South Dakota or East Arkansas or free coastal Rhode Island, etc. ad nauseum.
Turner, you'll soon be the devil to some, here to others. And I swear if I'd known you were part of this foolish, godforsaken enterprise,
Lays began.
I just walked in on it,
I said. She rolled her eyes.
If I'd known that you were with those idiots, I would have left you rot in that cave. You walk into more trouble than I have ever seen anybody, Turner. That Earl of Lexington, he's a piece of work. He's a dangerous man. And Sterling Bowen, what rock did you find him under? But I suppose it's all worth it to shack up with an underage dilettante. I think Lady Astoria has got bigger fish than me to fry,
I said.
Then that's to her credit. So who, for the Lord's sake, is Sweet Pea? Just somebody I hope you meet someday,
I said, thinking of my dreams.
Well, nonetheless, we got to get you out of here,
Lays said.
So why Texas?
I asked.
I'm going to send you to the heart of the enemy, Turner, but not before you get a newly enhanced chip in your head. We'll get that in Richmond.
We drove that wagon a number of hours, following lost, hollow roads up and up into the mountains, on and on into the gray dusk to avoid the Virginia Border Patrol. Finally, we pulled aside. Lays turned on a transceiver, searching for I don't know what she was searching for. But she picked up a local music show, and this is what we heard. There are those who put you deep in the ground. Fair Liza, I believe we know where you're bound. To lead the righteous and to lead the free. Oh, fair Liza, won't you marry me?
Well, if I was fair Liza, and I'm not saying I am, I don't believe I'd marry that singer. Well, I'd marry him before I marry you,
Lays smiled.
Why not marry him? He sounds like he could provide well for you. Maybe give you a couple babies. Maybe you could call those babies fair babies after fair Liza.
I tried to quip, but I was not a good quipper around Lays Fitzgerald. You'd want to check his teeth first, I said. Lays let the fire die down.
She laid her head in my lap. I was leaning against a tree, trying to keep my leg from stiffening up. "Tenor, I wonder if this will all work," she mumbled and fell fast asleep. Eventually, my thigh fell asleep. My butt, my left ankle, my elbow, they all fell asleep. But I would not move. Lazy Joe was right where I wanted her. Or was it the other way around? Mall later. Turner asked me.